Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of The Wrap Up, a production of The Balance. Join Tom and $2 Bill Josh as they wrap up the last 24 hours of sports for you. Right now, here's Tom and $2 Bill Josh.
It's time to start.
That's right, boys and girls. It is time to start the wrap-up. We are live here in Indianapolis, Indiana, in the Balance Studio for today's 30-minute wrap-up of what's happened in sports over the last 24 hours. We do this every day at 6 o'clock Eastern. So glad that you could join us. Right alongside with me, as always, is my partner in crime, the one, the only, $2 Bill Josh Elmore. Joshua, how are we doing today?
I'm well. How are you, Tom?
I am fantastic. Got a heat wave going through the Midwest here. One of the things that we want to talk about today, absolutely, could there be an end in sight? This feels good, people. I like what I'm hearing. We've been talking about it all week long, and we spent some time yesterday on The Balance talking about it. That's right, folks. If you have not heard, it looks like, it feels like, it tastes like an end to the NFL lockout. Josh, what are your thoughts on it, my brother? Are we going to have a season?
We are going to have a season. I'm looking extremely forward to it. And something I was hoping to mention before we got too much into topics. I hear you got some big news today, Tom. Anything you want to share?
Putting me on the spot there, huh? Yeah, you know, the thing is with the balanced salary and everything, it's not quite what it needs to be. So I had my own labor negotiations going on, and I worked that out today, Josh. So you and I will be enjoying the same place of employment. My goodness, on the radio together, in church together, my. Good thing we ain't married, my friend.
I know that's right, brother.
All right, well, let's get to it. The NFL lockout. Is it coming to an end, Josh?
Dave Calabro on Wish TV here in Indianapolis reports WTHR, Channel 13, reports that he's heard that by 5 p.m. tomorrow, there will be a press conference announcing a done deal, which makes me ask the question, is there really a done deal and the owners and the players are voting on it now? Because what if that has to take place for there to be a done deal?
Well, here's the thing, guys. I am going to tell you right now, it looks like, and I tell you what, I know Dave well. He is a good guy and a guy that knows his stuff, and he has a lot of good sources. So he's one source that I would definitely count on. I've been listening to ESPN radio all day long. Talk about the end, that this could be it. Basically, really, there are some things that they wanted to get worked out. And one of the things that I wanted to do is I was able to, thanks to our friends over at ESPN and ESPN Radio, we were able to get a soundbite together, and I'm trying to get that soundbite loaded. So and we do have it loaded now. So what I want to do on the other side of this soundbite, again, thanks to our friends over at ESPN Radio for providing this soundbite, it really kind of breaks down some of the issues that they're looking at right now. I think a lot of those issues have been resolved. And here's the thing. Today was the deadline for them to file any type of legal affidavits in court in Minneapolis. That did not happen from either side. So that's a very, very good sign. We'll talk more on the other side of this soundbite.
We were just getting some update from George Atala from the NFL Players Association that Damara Smith just walked into this building, Mort, right behind us a few seconds ago. And what did he have to say?
What he had to say was that throughout the weekend, including today, he is going to update players across the league and their player representatives and the executive committee about the issues that still need to be resolved. And there are issues that still need to be resolved.
All right, we had 13 hours of negotiation. They resolved some issues. and it looks as though there are some things still on the table, but probably won't derail a deal unless there's serious disagreement. What will happen today? Let's start with right of first refusal.
Right, and I don't know what item they're going to get to first, but right of first refusal is something that owners want for this year's free agent class, in which they have the right to match an offer on their free agent if he signs with another team. Now, that has a very chilling effect upon free agency, as you know. So, in other words, if, and you mentioned earlier, D'Angelo Williams,
in Carolina,
for some reason his old coach John Fox in Denver wanted to sign him, then the Panthers would be able to match it. What teams don't like doing is they feel like they're signing a guy for another team.
Right.
So, therefore, sometimes they don't even bid for that guy. The players are not really excited about giving in on that issue because these free agents were very restricted last year in an uncapped year.
And they feel as though they had a chance to sign these guys before the CBA expired and didn't do it, and that's why they want to obviously move on from this issue. They're not going to relent.
Sal, one last thing on that note. They're also probably going to get 3 days, 72 hours, to try to re-sign those guys before free agency hits.
Mort, now what about health and safety benefit issues?
I'm told that might be the biggest one yet, especially players are very concerned about out-of-season and in-season health and safety issues, working conditions. Not going to make a lot of head coaches happy. The players are going to be very adamant that they more days off, less padded practices, less contact. We know what the head trauma situation is. You get a lot of sympathy, I think, from the league side. But in a football practical sense, they do play football.
Mm-hmm.
But that is going to be a big, big item on their agenda, and they will not sign off on this deal unless they get their way with what they would say better working conditions.
What we were told is, though, they're going to grind through the issues with the intent to have a settlement, and that at this point it doesn't look like the deal couldn't be derailed. Do you agree with that?
I agree with that. Yesterday I was saying, hey, within 24 to 48 hours, I think that's a little bit optimistic. I think we're looking more 3 or 4 days for this to be maybe get to the point where it is a principle, an agreement in principle.
All right. Thanks to our friends over at ESPN Radio for giving us that soundbite. Very, very gracious of them. Well, Josh, you heard it. One of the things they're talking about here is that free agency rule issue. Of course, another issue, and you and I have talked about it also, Josh, is the rookie salary. I mean, it is unreal the amount of guaranteed money that these rookies are getting before they even hit the field. Who knows? You know, of course, Peyton Manning, he was worth every dime. But, you know, there's certainly been people who was not. So the free agency rule issue, you know, really, I think that's the big thing. Now, the encouraging thing is that it appears that the players are ready to say, all right, I think we've got a deal. Josh, what are your thoughts? Josh, are you with me?
Yes, I do think we have a done deal. I'm watching NFL Network as we're doing the bounce, and it reports. The breaking news that just came across the bottom of the screen is the owners and the players are done. It's just now up to the legal teams. I guess they're coming through the fine print. And that the deal cannot be derailed at this point. It is basically a done deal.
Well, there you have it, Josh. Thanks for pointing that out for us. And here's the thing. It is time to get this deal done. As Peyton Manning said, Tom Brady said, Drew Brees said, it is time to get this deal done. I think that we have really come down to the bewitching hour, and people have really got to get this deal together. Like you said, Josh, doesn't look like that this deal is going to derail. I do not want to be the boy that cried wolf, though, because we don't have a deal, so a deal's not a deal till a deal's a deal. But certainly feels like a deal, looks like a deal, smells like a deal. Josh, do we have a deal?
I do believe we're going to have a deal, and I think finally we can start talking about what training camps are going to look like, because I fully expect somebody to be in camp by next Saturday.
Okay, and I agree with that wholeheartedly, and obviously here at The Balance, we're going to be following that very, very closely, and especially right up the road here in Anderson, Indiana, and I know that Josh and I will take some time to go up there for the Colts training. Now, while we're on this subject about the Indianapolis Colts, of course, we're based right here in Indianapolis. That's our home team. But it affects everybody across the board. Free agency. Salary cap being lowered, as it looks on the deal, that on the talking points that I see. So, you know, the Colts don't have very much wiggle room here, and we got people that we have to look at bringing back. I honestly think we need to bring back Vinatieri. We don't have a kicker. Who's going to be our kicker if it's not Vinatieri? I like Adai. A lot of people don't like Adai, but at least one thing, Adai's been in the system. He understands the very complex system that Peyton Manning runs. So I think Joseph Adai. We've got other free agencies. Melvin Bullock. I mean, if we don't bring him back, who's going to be our strong second safety, Josh? So I guess that's an issue that a lot of people are talking about, is this free agency and salary cap deal. Josh, what are your thoughts on that, and where do you think the Colts are going to go? Okay, we've got a deal. Let's get back to business. We got a lot of ground to make up. Where they start, what they do.
I think, speaking of Joseph Adai, he's lucky there's a lockout. He'll probably get a one-year deal. Had there not been a lockout, Joseph Adai was gone. I like Adai. Adai is one of my favorite players, but at the end of the day, Adai is soft. Adai cannot run in between the tackles. But the bigger issue for the Colts, more so than free agency, Manning has said a couple of times, and I'm sure you've heard it on TV and read it in the newspaper, just like I have, Tom. He's hurting. He had neck surgery, and he hasn't been able to really rehab with anybody. Are they going to have? I'm pretty sure the Colts are going to set Manning the whole preseason. But is that going to give him enough time to get healthy for the regular season? Or could the lockout and the fact that Manny's publicly admitted he's hurting, could his consecutive game streak be in jeopardy?
I worry about that too as well, Josh. And I think that we have some very big pressing issues facing the Indianapolis Colts. And guys, we're talking about the Colts, but these issues are league-wide, and certainly, you know, feel free to post something on our Facebook page, just go to The Balance, or we don't take any calls on the wrap-up, but you know, send us an email, you can send us comments on www.thebalanceonline.com. Now, I think that there are some issues that Peyton Manning has to deal with. I mean, he's not been able to get in with his trainers. Obviously, I know that he has people who have been looking after him. Obviously, the Colts are making sure that he's taken well care of. But unfortunately, he's not able to work with the trainers that he's used to. He's not able to be in the Colts workout room. He's not able to really function and get better. So I think you're right, Josh. There could be some issues. Now, I don't know which is the bigger pain, Peyton Manning's neck surgery or his contract status. Until hopefully, we're right here at it. I mean, hopefully, you know, this time next week and later on in The Balance this week, we'll really be able to talk about a little bit more details about some of these contracts. But right now, until the lockout is resolved and the Colts begin contract negotiations with their franchise tag quarterback, Peyton Manning, who also, by the way, guys, we want to point this out, is among the plaintiffs in the players' lawsuit challenging the legality of the league shutdown. Now, we do know that lawsuit, and that the judge said that was legal. Plus, you know, like we said, is he's got this repair on a bulging disc in his neck, and you think about all the games that we take for granted. Our quarterback here in Indianapolis, and Peyton Manning, you know, he's a rarity, and we're not going to find anybody like him again. And here's the thing: we take very much for granted that our quarterback starts every game, he's in every game, he gets every snap, and he's the coach on the field. But keep in mind, how many times has he gotten hit? So it is. His body's starting to take a toll on him. He's got to repair this bulging disc on his neck. And even with that, there's not a lot to talk about because he had the second surgery in 15 months. And you're right. Peyton Manning could see some sideline time. Unfortunately, guys, that's the reality of what we look at. And when football does resume, Josh, Manning will be paid very, very, very well. At least he stands to earn about $23 million this coming up season. Not bad for a franchise player. However, you know, on different reports that I've seen, Jim Irsay and Bill Polian appear committed to make him the league's highest paid player ever. Now, that brings us back to the other situations with the salary cap being lowered, not a lot of wiggle room. So I'm very curious to see if Peyton Manning will actually be the highest paid quarterback out there. Josh, what are your thoughts?
Well, based on the fact that this is a second neck surgery in the last 15 months, and the fact that for the first time that I think I can ever remember Peyton Manning publicly announcing he's hurt, I wouldn't sign him to a long-term contract. I would make a play 2011, and I think Manning's a nice enough guy. He's a cool enough guy. He would understand. Play this year on a franchise contract. Show me you got a few years left, and then let's go into next fall season, you proving to me that you're healthy, and I'll give you the contract making you the richest paid player in the league.
And I agree, and I think that you're right with that. I don't think that that's going to be something that Peyton Manning says, oh, well, you know, play my way or no way. Well, let's face it, the Colts, if that wasn't an ultimatum that was – I don't ever see that happening. But if that wasn't ever an ultimatum that was given by Peyton Manning, you know, the Colts would definitely find a way to make it work. Now, here's the other thing. Will there be a hangover from last season's rash of injuries? And we just talked about the injury issue with Peyton Manning, but he's certainly not the only one. You know, only if those on an injured reserve list that reached 17 at one point late in 2010 haven't fully healed. Now, I'm talking about my man, number 44, Dallas Clark. He continues to rehabilitate. Austin Colley, there's another guy who suffered some concussions last season. So what kind of effects have other players? Of course, Peyton Manning's at the forefront, but what kind of other problems injury-wise? You know, we've got, like I said, we've got Colley, and, you know, just one thing after another. What's going to happen with some of our big players, our big-time players with injuries? Is that going to be some cuts that the Colts might have to make some hard decisions to make? Will Dallas Clark even be back with the Colts?
I do think Dallas Clark will be back, but at the end of the day, and some people might disagree with this, Jacob Tammy has proven to be as good, if not a better, younger, more versatile tight end than Dallas Clark. As far as Austin Colley goes, whether he's healthy or not, the Colts really only have Reggie Wayne. Well, actually, Reggie Wayne's a free agent. He may not be back. So right now, under contract, they have Gonzalez, Colley, Garcon's a free agent, and Blair White. They only have three wide receivers currently under contract. So at the end of the day, even if Colley's not healthy, they can't cut him. They don't have the depth.
Right. So there you go, guys. Those are some of the other issues that we're dealing with. We've only got, you know, a few more minutes left here in the wrap-up. We've got about 15 minutes, actually. So I do want to make sure that we get to some other stuff. But one thing I do want to point out with the Colts is, what's life going to be like in our secondary without Sanders? I mean, like I just mentioned a while ago, we've got Melvin Bullock, which is our number two safety. You know, and then there's Jamie Silva, which I had a chance to meet and talk to over there at the celebrity softball game at Victory Field. He feels ready. He's ready to go. But I tell you what, that's just another person. And he's restricted under the 2010 league rules. And also, as is cornerback Mike Richardson. So I'm curious on how our secondary is going to do in life after Sanders. Josh, real quickly, what are your thoughts on that?
We've been living life after Bob Sanders for the last 4 years.
I guess there is some point to that. I guess there is some point to that. Now, we were talking about the free agency, and what about Marvin Bullock? What's are we going to keep him around?
Absolutely. I don't see any reason why you would let him go.
Well, I agree with you, but at the same time, those are some of the things that I have not seen all the formalities of the new agreement, Josh. And are we even going to be able to pay him?
That's a good question. I think this year you'll see a whole bunch of 1-year contracts given out, and then maybe the free agency that would have been the summer 2011. Well, actually, any of the free agents of 2012 are going to be in the same class. I have a feeling next year's free agent class is going to be the best in NFL history.
Okay, guys. Well, we want to make sure that we get your thoughts. So make sure you drop us a line on Facebook. Just search The Ballots. Also, we want to make sure that you guys check out our website, www.theballotsonline.com. All right, Josh, what else is going on here in the wrap-up? We want to make sure that we get to a lot of that. You know what? Speaking of free agencies and trades, we got the trade deadline coming up here with the MLB, and I really don't know that there's going to be a lot of action going on. I mean, even though, you know, we've got some really good free agency stories, which a lot of times will dictate, you know, how the trade deadline goes. We talked a little bit about on The Balance yesterday about how possibly the Cardinals, and again, this is just a rumor. We haven't seen this, but you know, there's a lot of teams that really maybe aren't shopping. Maybe, you know, do we buy? Do we sell? Maybe they're just shrugging their shoulders right now. They don't know, because you got 9 teams that are within 500, Josh. And maybe they're just kind of saying, okay, well, we're doing okay, and we still have a chance to do that. And obviously Pittsburgh and Milwaukee are teams that you need to look at that are completely okay with that. And, you know, there's a lot of good second-half storylines that are coming up here. And, you know, I'm just curious to see, you know, what's going to happen with the trade lines and trade deadline coming up. Who's hot, who's not, Josh?
Well, right now it appears to be more than a rumor. The St. Louis Cardinals and Tampa Bay Rays are deep in trade discussions for a trade that look like it's going to involve Evan Longoria. But it appears the Cardinals are set to acquire David Price and B.J. Upton from Tampa Bay in exchange for Holiday and Lance Berkman, and maybe even Colby Rasmus.
Okay. And so there you go. Now what we were talking about, life after Sanders. What's life after Holiday, Josh, with the Cardinals? Possibly life after the Pujols.
It looks like a salary dump if you look at the salaries of what St. Louis would be taking on in giving up to Tampa Bay. It looks like St. Louis is trying to dump salary to save money so they can re-sign Pujols. I didn't know money was a problem for the Cardinals.
Well, I don't know that it's a problem per se, but certainly those are all things that are rumors. And I don't know. Maybe you're right, Josh. Maybe it is more than a rumor. But guys, we've got about 10 minutes left. You know, some of the other rumors that are going on out there in rumor land is, you know, Rodriguez's buyout will now increase from $3.5 million to $4 million, with the Mets paying the original buyout and the Brewers paying the rest. Now, I was noticing some tweets from Ken Rosenthal of Fox said that the vesting option now kicks it in with the same 55 games finished through the clause is now meaningless. So what are your thoughts on Francisco Rodriguez, Josh?
I think that was just the beginning of the New York Mets dumping salary. I fully expect to see Carlos Beltran and Jose Reyes move before the trade deadline. As a Red Sox fan, we're a little short at depth at shortstop. I would really like to see the Mets and Red Sox work out a trade with Jose Reyes going to the Red Sox. I'd like to see Carlos Beltran maybe go to St. Louis. I think St. Louis could use another center fielder.
Now, I agree with that. I think he would be a great addition to the St. Louis Cardinals, and certainly you're right there. The Cardinals do need a new center fielder. What are some of the other hot rumors you're hearing out there, Josh?
I've heard some talk that Matt Kemp might be made available to the L.A. Dodgers. The Yankees are going to look for a starting pitcher. And maybe Jorge Posada will be moved, although I don't know anybody who would want a 40-year-old designated hitter who's been known to refuse to play.
And I agree with you on that. We got about 5 minutes left here in the wrap-up, and we want to make sure that we get to all the rumors. And the great thing about the wrap-up here, guys, is that it is just that. We want to kind of give you a taste of what's happened in the last 24 hours. And, you know, there's a lot of MLB rumors that are going on out there. We just talked about some of the things that are going on with Rodriguez and with the holiday rumor trade. And, of course, we've talked about here on the balance, and we've talked about on the wrap-up as well, the looming of what's going to happen with Albert Pujols. I think that the Cardinals are formatting two plans, plan A with Albert, plan B without Albert. Either which way, the Cardinals have to move forward as a baseball franchise, and I think that they're going to be ready to do that, and they're going to be ready to put some things together. Now, some of the other things that in the MLB rumor arena is talks for J.J. Hardy. I think one of the holdups in the talks between Hardy and the Orioles have been that concern on Hardy's part that the Orioles will trade him. And that might be something that the Orioles are looking to do. They are looking, and the Orioles and Hardy are, you know, progressing in a 3-year deal. So maybe they'll get a deal together, but that's worth somewhere around $21 million. So I guess if the Orioles can keep J.J. Hardy, you know, that's some good optimism for the Orioles as well. Josh, have you heard anything on that?
No, I really haven't heard too much on that. I'm
okay.
Not really sure that there's much to it.
Okay. Well, and I don't know either. And some of the – again, we're just going through some rumors, guys, here on the wrap-up. You know, another thing about what's going on is the White Sox signed Doug Davis. He just moved across town. Doug Davis stint with the Cubs didn't work out that particularly well. So I guess he's going to try his luck across town. So I haven't heard much about that. But, Josh, have you heard anything about Doug Davis and moving over to the White Sox?
No, that was such a quiet story. I didn't even know he wasn't a Chicago Cub anymore.
Yeah, they kind of brushed it underneath the thing. I think it should be definitely entertaining. I honestly don't know or care of what's going on with the Chicago general managers. It's really funny to me. I don't know, just an interesting rumor of what they say is going on there. So. But, guys, we do want to hear from you. We want to hear your thoughts. Go to www.thebalanceonline.com. We got about 90 seconds left here in the wrap-up for today. And, of course, we'll be back on Monday. And I do believe Statman Steve will be back on Monday to give the Balance Racing Review wrap-up, and he'll be doing that once a week on Monday to tell us what has happened in racing over the past week. And what is coming up in the current week as well. Josh, real quickly, you've got about 30 seconds. Give us the 30-second rundown.
Well, Sunday at 2 p.m., the U.S. women's team is in the Women's World Cup Championship game. And if you're not doing anything tonight or tomorrow, I encourage everyone to go see the final Harry Potter ever.
Yeah, you know, I missed standing out there in line last night at midnight. Not, you know what? Harry Potter's a good movie. My wife likes Harry Potter, and I think that, you know, it certainly played its part. So there you guys go. No, we're even telling you to go see the new Harry Potter movie. And Josh, you're going out there to the Metropolis in Plainfield tonight. So if you guys see Josh, go up. He's the big tree-looking guy. All right, guys, that's gonna do it for us. You have been wrapped up for the balance on Blog Talk Radio.